to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Jan Harzan joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast this week. He's the new international director of Mutual UFO Network. And he mentions here he worked for IBM. And as you were saying in the previous segment, you talked to a couple of executives about UFO research?
Yeah, over the course of a number of years, I mean, we've had several senior vice presidents of research. And I had the opportunity through different briefings and things that I had attended to actually spend some time just talking to them. The reaction wasn't that these things aren't real, although I think I found a little bit of skepticism, but it was mostly that, you know, if we monitor everything, we have scientists looking at the basic fundamental building blocks of the universe and how, you know, materials get built and things like that. That's fundamental to the business that IBM is in. And if there was anything to this, we would know about it. That was kind of the reaction I got. So it was an eye-opener for me that it's very difficult to get real scientists to study this problem with an open mind. That doesn't mean we don't have real scientists studying it, because we do, lots of them. But it's very difficult to get, you know, if someone hasn't had a personal experience themselves or hasn't had some close family member, I think it's just we're dealing with a paradigm thing, and we're dealing with a belief system again, and it's just very difficult to get past that.
Okay, so you first became acquainted with MUFON when Malt Andrus was running it. When did you join, and when did you become more active in the organization?
Okay, well, as I was moving through my career at IBM, I was a branch manager in Orange County, California, and I was getting some business coaching from what I would call a good friend. He wasn't a good friend at that time, but he was a business coach. We became good friends. And he asked me the question one day. He said, well, you know, if you were independently wealthy, what would you be doing with your life? I said, well, if I was, you know, had all the money in the world, I could do anything I wanted to do. I guess I'd be doing UFO research. He said, oh, really? He says, well, tell me more about that. So I told him about my experience and what I was involved in and how this was an important thing to me. And how I felt it was something very important to be done, but, you know, it needs to be funded, and, you know, I don't have the money to do it now, but if I did, I would do that. And he said, okay. So he tucked that away, and about a month later, when I was talking to him, working with him, he pulled out a flyer and said, hey, I wanted you to have this. And it was a flyer for the UFO Expo West in the Hyatt at the LAX airport, which was put on by a gentleman who used to do the Whole Life Expos, if I'm not mistaken. I went, wow. You know, I didn't realize there were these kinds of things. I think it was actually a little pamphlet, a book, paperback, almost like a penny saver. But it was full of chock-a-block, full of all the UFO stuff that was going to happen at this weekend event. I went to the event. I just decided I'd drive up to LAX and go to the thing. And I was totally blown away by the number of speakers they had, the topics they were talking about, the vendors. There was a MUFON table there. I got introduced to the MUFON people. I think this was like 89 to 91 in that time frame. It was quite an eye-opener for me. It was actually the place where I met a good friend of mine, Tom Keller. And Tom is also a graduate of the UCLA School of Engineering. He's about 10 years older than me. And he was standing there in the hallway. And I saw him standing, and I walked up to him. I said, hey, this is kind of interesting, isn't it? And he said, sure is. So we started talking, became very, very good friends. He and I actually took a couple trips out to Area 51 together. And then he, of course, wrote the book, The Novice's Guide to UFOs, many years later. But that kind of got me started. And then I realized or found out that the MUFON group in Los Angeles was holding meetings at the Pickwick Center up in Burbank. So I started attending those on a monthly basis, which was quite a hike. It was about an hour drive from my home. But that's what my first got me started in MUFON. And then about several months later, a young lady by the name of Deborah Trincali had sent a letter out to all the MUFON members in Orange County saying, hey, we're going to start a chapter in Orange County just like they do in L.A., and if you'd like to attend, we're going to have a kickoff meeting. I'm trying to think of the name of the hotel. I think Countryside Inn on Bristol in Costa Mesa. So I showed up to that meeting and met about 20 or 30 other like-minded individuals. And that was the launch of MUFON Orange County, which I ended up, after Deborah retired from there, running for the past 18, 19 years.
All right. So where does that lead to becoming the international director?
Well, in running a state section under the state director at the time, who was Georgianne Seffarelli, in fact, she's still the state director, a great lady who has been a good mentor to me through the years. We ran meetings. I know Chris has been at our meetings as a speaker at least two times, maybe three times over the years. It got me involved to the point where I was attending the symposiums every year, and this goes back, maybe almost 15, 20 years, all over the country. And as I was at the symposiums, I had an opportunity to talk to Walt Andrus quite a bit and John Schuessler and the other folks who have been so instrumental in running MUFON for the past 45 years. And Walt would send around a notice to the different chapters soliciting chapters who would want to host the MUFON symposium. And he would move it around from the west to the south to the east to the Midwest, you know. So he would try to move it around every year to a different spot. And one year he sent out a note to saying, hey, I'm soliciting input for people who might want to run host the symposium. And I put a proposal, you'd say, together, a one-page proposal saying, here, we'd like to do it. Here's how we think it would be done. And we were lucky enough to be selected by Walt to host the 2001 MUFON Symposium. So in 2001, we held the symposium here in Orange County at the Hyatt Regency Irvine, and it was very, very successful, well-attended. And as a result of that, between the time we accepted the award from Walt to the time we ran the conference, Walt had retired after 30 years of running MUFON, and John Schuessler had come in as the new international director. And John and I became good friends, and through that discussion, John asked if I would join the MUFON business board. At the time, when he took over, he tried to bring on some business people to help run MUFON more like a business, because we always struggled. Well, when Walt ran the business, he all ran out of his home, out of his garage, so there was no rent or anything like that. It was pretty easy to make ends meet. He had, I think, one full-time secretary and one part-time person who worked, and then he and his wife kind of worked the business. But John was trying to run it more like a business and build up MUFON stature, make it continue to make it even more professional than it was. And I got this opportunity to be on the business board and start working with a lot of great people on that board. And so through the years, I was asked to, if I would consider taking over the international director. At the time, it was called the international director. Now it's called executive director. And, of course, because of my work commitments, my family commitments, it was not possible at the time. So now that I've retired from IBM, now that my kids are pretty much in college or out of the house, I have the time and ability to do this. So it was the right time to make this change.
Okay. I think I'm going to ask a question here, which will probably require a lot more than the remaining minute and a half of the segment to answer. Now, since John Schuessler left MUFON, we've had a procession of directors there. Of course, for example, James Carrion, and there was, I guess, kind of a cloud over his departure. Clifford Clift, David McDonald, and now you. And does that kind of constant movement of directors, that kind of hurt the organization because you get started and then there's another guy in there?
I don't think so, because we're really run by a business board. So that's the unique thing about MUFON. It's not like a lot of UFO groups, which are the person, and that's the group. I mean, it's that person is everything. In MUFON, we actually have a business board as well as, state directors and hundreds of field investigators. So we have a whole organization here that it's not run as a dictatorship, but, it's run as a nonprofit organization with management oversight and board oversight. So I think actually that's the one of the strengths of an organization like MUFON. You don't have to worry about it just evaporating and disappearing overnight because the leader died.
Okay, we will discuss more of MUFON and what's going on with them. In our next segment, we have the new director, Jan Harzan, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Justin Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jan Harzan is director of MUFON. You're on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Okay, Jan, so we therefore expect that the director can change now every few years. So you may take it over. You have it now. Maybe in a few years, somebody else takes over.
Well, that's a possibility. I think it's a 3-year term, and the board reelects the board reelects each board member too every 3 years as well. So you could run it as long as you really want to run it. You know, I mean, there's nothing that says you only can be 3 years and then you're out. There's no term limits per se. So it's really just up to the purview of the board. You know, the real strength is that we created an executive committee. We call it an advisory committee, but of the past three international directors. So we've got John Schuessler, Dave McDonald, and Clifford Clift, who work with me as I need them to make sure that we're consistent on how we do things, that we follow the process that we've started, you know, 45 years ago. If we need to change process, which obviously we need to keep up with the times, we can do that. And then we have a full board behind that votes on any major changes. So I'm very, very pleased with our management team at this point in time.
Okay, so this is more of a committee type of organization. So if Jan Harzan says, let's do things this way, he can't just do them. You have to go back to the board and discuss it with them and work out something.
Well, I have latitude. I mean, I can make day-to-day decisions. But I mean, if it's something major, you know, if we're going to rebrand MUFON or, you know, change the logo or do something, you know, extraordinary or start a major venture, the board needs to know about it. I mean, we can't just make a hard left or right turn. But, I mean, I do have the power and authority to make day-to-day decisions. So if something needs to get done for business purposes, I can do that. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's not like I can run off and go create my own organization or do major changes without getting the buy-in of the board and hopefully the membership being the state directors and the people who have a vested interest in the running of MUFON.
Okay, so now that you've taken this position, then do you see that there are changes you'd like to make in the organization or just keep running things as they are?
No, absolutely. There's definite changes that need to be made. We need to really bring MUFON up to the 21st century quickly. And so my marching words are to go social, go mobile, and go global. And each of those could take probably 5 or 6 minutes to explain. But going social, you know, we live in a social media world. I mean, information is bouncing around the world in a matter of seconds after something happens. And we've got to get much more on top of that phenomenon. So the first major change that I'm making, it's not really a change so much as mostly an update, is to create a social media website for our website, which will allow people to log in and be members. It'll be everything from a free membership to you know, a full membership and everything in between. We need to make the information much more easily accessible to the public in terms of what's going on and how it's viewed. I mean, our current website is very old and dated. We need to, I think, shake this image of the black box of ufology. We have the information, and it is available to the public today. Unfortunately, you have to go in and know which links to click and know which search boxes to put in, and it's very cumbersome. It needs to be more easily accessible by the public and by researchers and by investigators, particularly MUFON investigators, to help us pull this, figure out this mystery and pull it all together. That's going to be my major thrust from a social standpoint. Also, from a communication standpoint, which is part of social, we've created a team called the SRB, Science Review Board. On our very, very best sightings, this board comes together and reviews them and tries to come up with answers to what it might be and research study reports on things. The power of this is you have multiple scientific minds looking at the same sighting report or perhaps someone's, you know, what they're putting forth as being truth and being able to analyze it and figure out what it is and what it isn't. And as part of that process, we have a monthly review of all the completed sighting reports from the last 90 days where we have a small team, including our director of, actually our STAR team manager, our director of research, Robert Powell, who heads the team up, myself and another individual who go through these reports and literally crawl through them and determine what the best reports are for that month. Not every report that comes in is viable. Most, I would say, a good 75% of our reports clearly are IFOs. I mean, if you go on many of these websites where they have one-liners and you read them very quickly, you can weed out the shooting stars, you know, the meteorites, the airplanes, the planets, just by reading the description. The difference on the MUFON website is that we collect lots of data, way more data, and lots more verbiage on the actual sighting event. So we have a 25-word summary, which we allow the witness to put in, but we also allow them to write as much as they want. Some of them fill up pages worth of information on their sighting report. So we whittle those down to what we call the sightings of interest, and then we crawl through those. We get usually 10 to 20, 25 a month, and we whittle those down to the significant two or three. And those two or three go into a bucket, and then at the end of the year, we turn those over to the Science Review Board, and they choose the top 10 reports. So for the first time, we just published the top 10 sightings for 2012, and our intent is to do this every year. We're going to probably put a little more analytics into it in terms of all of the sighting reports, because we get between 5 and 10,000 reports a year. We're getting between 500 and 1,000 a month. Last month, we had 927 reports, which is just a ton. I think people forget we're a completely volunteer organization, so we depend on volunteers to be able to go out and talk to these witnesses, go on the Internet and try to figure out what they might have seen, go out on site, take soil samples or whatever needs to be done, depending on the sighting itself. And there's a whole process for that. But we really are trying to get down to the significant few, and what I'd like to do is publicize those, because I think too much in the past, reports keep coming out, and they're IFOs, IFOs, IFOs. And I can tell you, from having been a MUFON field investigator, if I had never seen a UFO, I'm not sure I'd still be in the business, because most of the reports you get are lights in the sky or very mundane things, you know, balloons, planets. You know, people swear they saw a landing craft hovering there, but when you really go out, you stare at it, you're looking at the planet Saturn, you know, or you're looking at a Venus, you know, on a hot summer night with the atmosphere scintillating and the light scintillating. And it looks very, very strange. It looks, it's very interesting, but it's not a UFO. It's a UFO to people, but it's just, you know, a planet. So, but you weed all those out and you get down to the significant few, and there's some very, very good sighting reports.
Well, Jan, this is Chris here. One of the things that has come up over the last few years is complaints about the membership not having as much say in the actual process of deciding on who's on the board, for instance. And are there any plans to change the actual organizational structure and giving the rank and file a little bit more involvement, picking and choosing and possibly electing officials?
Before we have that answer, we got to do our break, and then we'll have a complete answer from Jan Harzan of MUFON. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. amount includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Every time you eat a cooked food, your body responds by producing an increase in circulating white blood cells. This happens because nature designed us to eat food that is undamaged at the molecular level. When we heat food to normal cooking temperatures, we change the shape of the molecules into shapes the body cannot use. The body now looks at them as toxins and allergens. In an effort to protect itself from this irritant, the body intelligently increases the amount of circulating white blood cells to act as garbage collectors. The white blood cells gobble up all the unusable damaged food particles to neutralize their cell-damaging properties. This puts stress on your organs of elimination, and your body is subject to cell damage and inflammation. If you'd like to start experiencing the benefits of undamaged protein in your diet, give One World Way a try. It is a truly undamaged protein powder that will thrill your tastes and every cell of your body. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the PowerCast, a question about more member participation and the things that MUFON does of the director, Jan Harzan. What's your response?
Well, the way members can participate in MUFON is very much like I did. They can start off as a field of, they can just become a member, become a journal subscriber. We have an electronic journal for, I think, $35 a month. We have a hard copy journal, which is the same journal, for $50 a year, rather, I apologize, per year. And then if they'd like to get more involved, they can become a field investigator and get involved in their state or country where they reside in terms of handling these reports that come in. I mentioned we get between 500 and 1,000. They become part of our case management system. They get an opportunity to work actual cases and be hands-on. They can attend, anyone can attend our symposiums and meet with the board or with the various members and various state directors. So there's lots of ways to get involved and influence, you know, how things work. I mean, I don't think we'll ever have a let's let the world vote on who should be this or that, because then it turns into a popularity contest. And I think we have a very, very strong board with very good credentials who look over MUFON, and I think that's really the right way to run the organization. But you can work your way up. I mean, become a state section director, run maybe a county or two, work your way up to state director, and then eventually work your way onto the board and international director. I mean, that's the path that I took. I mean, realized that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I was standing in the foyer of the Hyatt at the LAX airport just bathing in ufology and all of the speakers, many of which are still around. And today I'm the executive director for MUFON. I mean, I think that's a path anyone could take.
Yeah, that's a good point. One thing that's also come up a lot as a subject on the Paracast, and when we look at the future of ufology, now you mentioned about streamlining and becoming more involved in the social network explosion. I have a question from one of our longtime posters and very, very active participant at forum.theparacast.com, Ufology. He's one of our Canadian listeners and a very active forum member. And he has a whole bunch of questions here, but one of them I think is important, and it kind of gets to the point of a future vision here. What efforts are you guys making there at MUFON now to get young people more involved in ufology?
It's come up here at the Paracast a lot, the future of ufology. And you mentioned you're going to be getting more involved and getting MUFON more involved in social media. That's going to help attract, I think, a younger generation to the UFO subject. So what other plans do you have for MUFON to attract younger members?
Well, I'm hoping that this new social website will be a big boon to them. I mean, kids today are all about social media. I mean, if you see any kids today, even when there are five of them together, they're all staring at their phone, which I find fascinating. They're standing there with each other, but they're staring at their phones and Instagramming each other and Facebooking each other. And just that's how things get done today with the kids of this current generation. So we need to be able to be where they are and to be live on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those are all things that here to now we've used very limited from a MUFON standpoint, and we're hoping to make them a mainstay of how we move information around between people. Now, it's interesting because you get above the 30 crowd, or maybe 40 or 50 crowd, which we have quite a few members over 50. You know, people aren't quite as social media savvy. That's not something they do. We even have members in their 80s who don't even use email. So you have to figure out how you reach all these different strata of subscribers and members and people. Now, to be a field investigator, to be a state director, you have to be at least on email, and you have to have a computer, because you just can't get your job done without it. But the youth market is a target market for us. It's something that's very important. I think we could also reach them through some of our merchandise. We're looking at revamping the entire MUFON merchandise line. They love cool shirts, T-shirts, and things like that. Get them involved as volunteers, helping out with signing reports, becoming field investigators. Got a call from a young lady just 2 days ago from the University of La Verne here in Southern California. She was interested in doing an internship with MUFON. There are people out there, young people, who definitely want to be involved and are getting involved. So we just need to reach out and meet them where they are, and I believe that's in the social media space.
Okay, and I wish you luck on that, because I think that's the future of the organization. As you mentioned, there's a lot of older folks that are in MUFON, and it's the younger generation that's going to keep it going. We have a number of questions here, Jan, about the last few years. The MUFON symposium has seemed to some people to kind of, it's been veering away from, you know, the scientific investigation of UFOs. And a question here from one of our later signups from this month at forum.theparacast.com, Steve Zaliski, says, I was a member of MUFON for a year back in the 70s. I ended my association with it because of all the crackpots and cultists who have caused so much damage to serious scientific and scholarly UFO research. And this is his question, having cult leader Stephen Greer speak at your July convention does not bring credibility to MUFON. If your information outside magazine published an extensive expose on Greer, and we know he's very controversial, and he also does put a lot of fannies in the seats, too. But where'd you come down on getting really controversial people that have that seem to be, you know, this almost a cult figure like a Greer? What do you think about having them being featured at the symposium?
Well, let me just say, on the 2013 symposium, which was one of our most wildly successful ever, we had over 700 people in attendance over the 3-day, 4-day event. We had, I think, 10 or 11 very, very good. I think we had 7 PhDs out of our entire speaking staff, as well as, of course, an MD, which is Dr. Greer, and a master's. And, you know, the speakers, without question, were all just outstanding. Ted Peters, who's a theologian out of Berkeley. We had Al Harrison, who's a former retired professor from UC Davis in sociology. We had Dr. David Jacobs, who, of course, is a history professor out of Temple, also retired. We had quite a, if you go on and look at the website, MUFON Symposium.com. I think it's probably one of the best speaking lineups we've had in years. Now, specific to Stephen Greer, what we had asked Stephen to do was to come in and give us a scientific view of the DNA evidence for the Atacama humanoid.
Okay, but aren't you aware here, Dr. Greer brings a lot of baggage to what he does, and he's very controversial, and there are very severe questions about things that he's doing. There's a recent expose report that people who've worked with him have left his organization under the cloud of financial improprieties, possible steroid use. You've heard about this, haven't you?
I've seen the posts on the Internet, but then, you know, they're just Internet posts.
So. Right, but this is going on for years. I mean, we've had him on the show in the past, and it seemed to me like he wanted to be promoting Stephen Greer as opposed to solving UFOs. Also, we have CSETI, this organization where people have to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars to go with him on a trip to get in touch with E.T., flag down a flying saucer. Of course, they have to sign an NDA. They can't tell anyone about it. You know, I'm just saying here is, does someone like that really bring credibility to MUFON?
Well, here's what I know about Dr. Greer. Stephen has had his own experiences. He wrote a book. If you read it, it takes you through his experiences that he's had personally with this subject. He is 100% dedicated to solving the issue, although his belief is that it's already solved, that these are extraterrestrials and they're using interdimensional physics to do what they do. He's just trying to leapfrog the process and go directly to, you know, our visitors and saying, why do we need to go through the government? Why do we need to do this? So I salute him for that. I mean, that's a very novel approach. So I think too many of us are looking on this planet for someone of higher authority to bless us and tell us that these things exist. Why? We know they exist. We're seeing them daily. I get reports coming in all day long with people who've seen these craft. We know they're there. So his focus is in the right place there. Now, I know people have a hard time with his personality and with his maybe his style. And
the GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, the evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
It's time to get healthy, and your first step towards a healthy lifestyle begins at the Healthy Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center in Nashville. Get your free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com and join us for Tennessee's most comprehensive health, fitness, and nutrition expo. There's over 100 exhibits with information and services to help create a healthier life. Also, more than 25 health screenings, cooking demos, and the latest fitness trends. Plus, visit the Longevity booth. Get free tickets at thehealthylivingexpo.com. There's prizes all day on the stages and at the booths, like fitness memberships to an area health club every hour. The Healthy Living Expo, September 28th and 29th at the Music City Center, Nashville. Get free tickets for yourself, your family, your friends, and everyone you know at thehealthylivingexpo.com. Get to the website now, because tickets are $10 at the door. The Healthy Living Expo, your first step towards a healthy lifestyle.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare, by far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide? Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's www.brightsideben.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We could go back and forth about Dr. Greer, but you understand, I think, the controversial nature about what he says and about his evidence, so-called.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So let me just leave you with this one. After he spoke at the symposium, I had three different detractors come up to me, and I won't mention the names on the air, but these are very significant people, and tell me that they were very impressed with his presentation and were blown away with what he had shared and where he was headed, and basically apologized to me for having written scathing notes about why he was on the agenda. So I would encourage anyone who's got a problem with it that maybe they should open up their mind and go watch the DVD and hear what he presented, because it was quite fascinating and it was very scientific. And that's what MUFON's about. We're about the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of humanity.
Sure, and I understand your point of view. I just think all this baggage he carries with him, even if he's doing some real good work, that baggage has to hurt, because, as you know, when you get people like that and they come up before conventions, the media that's already maybe somewhat predisposed not to take UFOs seriously will go after him or Paula Harris and denigrate the entire event, even though you've got great speakers and great evidence. And that's the point I think Chris and I are trying to make, that you've got to be careful about that. And maybe it's being politically correct, but maybe you have to be overly politically correct to get UFOs accepted more. Chris, you got more questions?
Now that you mention it, Gene, that leads me right to a perfect question from another one of our recent sign-ups at forum.theparacast.com, Pierre. Jan, in your opinion, what needs to be done in order to bring ufology to the point of being taken seriously by mainstream media? There have been so many efforts in the last 50 years, but very little progress. And do you see this trend continuing, or do you perhaps foresee some sort of significant breakthrough as it relates to media coverage and the media's acceptance of the subject?
Well, I think that's a very good point. I mean, whenever I'm contacted by the media, the first question I always ask them is, you know, what's the angle of your report? Now, first question is, what do you know about the subject? And invariably, there's a long pause at the end of the phone, and the reporter or writer has absolutely no history. They've just been told by their editor, go do a story on MUFON or go do a story on UFOs, and off they go. I've actually had TV cameramen from the news station show up at my local meeting in Orange County and want to do a a piece on what we do down there with the speakers. And first thing I do is I introduce them to all the PhDs that are at the meeting. And then I introduce them to all the aerospace workers who come and listen to the speakers. And then I have them, you know, interview Dr. Bob Wood, you know, who's a physicist from 43 years at McDonnell Douglas, right? When they get done with all that, their eyes are like big as saucers. And these guys actually did a whole expose. They had me standing up on top of a rock, you know, shooting me with the moon in the background. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to turn out well. Well, that piece, because we did such a great job of taking him through and educating him on the topic and introducing him to intelligent scientists and having him interview them and realize that this is not a joke, it never got aired. And my take is that the editor of the news station who sent him up there to do this story, or down here to do the story, because it was out about Los Angeles that they came, was looking for more of a funny piece that he could put on the news. And it, since it didn't turn out to be a funny piece, they just scrapped it.
Oh, man.
Didn't fit the meme of what they were trying to present.
I mean, the laugh factor. You know, let's go show these crazy people who go talk about UFOs, you know. And then they realize that there's intelligent people sitting there and intelligent people speaking, and it doesn't play to their story. So, you know, how do we get the media more involved? Well, here's how I think we do it. And this is what we're doing. This is what MUFON is doing. Every month, we sit down and we go through the hundreds of reports that have come into us for that month. And we winnow it down to the 10, 20, 30 that are of the best cases of interest. We call them cases of interest. And then we take those 20, 10, 20, 30, whatever it ends up being every month. It's a little bit different because it doesn't run equally every month. We whittle it down to the two or three we think are the absolute best cases in there that you know, that are just solid, definitely not a planet, definitely not, you know, a balloon, you know, definitely not an airliner coming in for landing or something of that nature. And very credible witnesses, you know, these are policemen, you know, doctors, lawyers. I mean, these are very good people seeing these things. And we put those in the bucket for publication later. We then take those, and we are starting to send them out to the local press. So Roger Marsh, who is our journal editor, I'm going to be naming him shortly as our director of public relations. We've had some good ones in the past, and he's going to take over. He has been actually taking these reports, sending them out to the local media and the national media, and we're starting to get bites and people doing stories on them. And TV shows, not TV shows, but you know, news shows and newspapers starting to write this stuff up. So you're going to start to see a lot more in the press, I'm hoping, over the next 6 to 12 months than you've seen in the past, because we are going outbound rather than waiting for the press to come to us.
Let me ask you a fast question here about the organization as a whole. Do you take a position on what UFOs are, or do you just say this is something that has to be investigated? Please let me know.
Sure. You want to answer right now?
Sure.
Number one, UFOs are real. Number two, at least some of these UFOs appear to be of extraterrestrial origin. Number three, there's 100 other theories of where they could come from, and there's nothing mutually exclusive about any of the theories. I mean, they could all be true, right? So I always tell at my local meetings, which I've turned over now to Deborah Edwards, who's a new state section director. Actually, Georgianne Ceffarelli named her as the new state section director for Orange County. But when I'm announcing the meetings, I always say to people, I say, you know, what we know to be true are two things. One is that UFOs are real. They're physical devices operating in and about our planet under intelligent control of some sort. Number two, at least some, and I'll underline some, of these craft appear to be of extraterrestrial origin. I say appear because we get the reports like Benny and Barney Hill, like Travis Walton. I mean, obviously these are beings that you don't see walking around the streets, so they're probably not from this planet. So they're you have to be of extraterrestrial or out there. I guess you can always say out there, because you know, you have other theories which need to be explored. You have the interdimensional theory. You've got time traveler theory. You've got indigenous species that lives beneath the oceans or inside the earth somewhere. There's all sorts of possibilities, but they're not people that we would deal with on a day-to-day basis. So that's where we're at. Now, we believe that the way to solve this thing is through data collection and the scientific study. And I do believe the public needs some place to be able to report its sightings to, and MUFON is that organization. And then we just need to make sure that that data is used by researchers. So that's my next thrust, which will be to start to engage academics and scientists and corporations in the search. And we just need to make it palatable to them that they can do this kind of work. I think the biggest crime of the century is letting the intelligence community muddy the water so bad that, that good scientists, good academics, good researchers can't be involved in this without getting their name tarnished or their reputation tarnished. I can't tell you the number of scientists that I have asked to come to MUFON Symposium as speakers, and they're always very polite, but they always have some other place they need to be.
That's why I was suggesting to you that when you have someone like a Dr. Greer, it's not helping necessarily in the scientific community. But let me ask you another question here. With regard to ongoing investigations and what we know about UFOs, do you think that any of the governments of the world have guilty knowledge, real evidence that they're hiding as to what the answers to the UFO mystery are?
Well, this is only my opinion. I think when we say world government or government, you know, we think of the United States. We think, you know, Obama's the president. You've got here in California, Dianne Feinstein's the senator. Everybody's got two senators, and you got congressmen. I think that the general people who are at the top of the government or run the government probably don't have any knowledge of what's going on. I think there are probably people buried deeper in the layers of government, or I truthfully believe it's more in the intelligence military group where this stuff resides.
Well, the private sector and the aerospace companies, too, don't forget.
Yes. Well, that's, I mean, that's exactly where I think the information is in there, and there are probably some bureaucrats from, you know, sometimes the NSA or the CIA. I don't know who ultimately has responsibility for it, but, you know, if you talk to Dr. Bob Wood or other folks, they'll talk about MJ-12. They'll talk about who's on MJ-12 today. There's obviously somebody who knows something about this, but to go march on Washington and demand that the president turn over what he knows, I doubt that the president knows much of anything, personally.
He may be the last person to know. He may be the person who, if they ask, they'll say, well, there's nothing to it, or you don't have the need to know. And
exactly.
You're going to be gone in 4 years or 8 years, so does it really matter? Jan Harzan of MUFON joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.